get to speaking here. I want to pray for the new school year for students, teachers, administrators. That, we all know the struggles and tragedies that have been around this country. And I want a safe year for our students. Amen, our teachers. Amen. Well, let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, we pray, Lord, for our school system in these areas here. Lord, that there'll be peace in Jesus' name. Amen. That, Lord, anyone who causes harm, Lord, to be exposed, Lord, reveal that. Lord, we pray for the administrators, the teachers, the students, that, God, you'll work, Lord God, accordingly. Lord, strength and provision, skill and ability to be their portion. And Lord, we ask you, Lord God, to continue to move. Lord, I thank you for godly men and women that take their place, Lord God. Lord, for the students, Lord God, divine protection to be upon. Lord, let no evil come near in the name of Jesus. Lord, we pray you'll bless this school year, Lord God. Lord, all those that are involved, have your hand mighty upon. And Lord, if anyone will cause evil, Lord, expose it totally, Lord God, to thwart every plan of the enemy that we speak life upon. Lord, a continual open door, Lord God, to minister grace. We thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Well, thank you. God is good. Amen. If you have your Bibles, there's probably one next to you. I want you to turn to Job chapter 1. Job chapter 1. I'm going to continue on this series in the book of Job. Now, how many have read about the suffering of Job? Yes or no? What comes to mind when you hear the name Job? It probably reverts to the suffering. Would you agree? Just like Noah would be tied to the flood, Job is kind of tied to what's struggling, what's going on. But this morning, I'm going to be dealing with an area where I really feel it's even of the utmost importance, even greater than the suffering, is that hearing from God. Because hearing from God is one of the most important things we can have in life. Are you with me? I'm going to build that as I speak here. Now, we know that Job went through things. He lost his family. He lost his possession. He lost his health. It's pretty cataclysmic. But how many want to hear from the Lord?
Amen.
To me, when I look at the book of Job, the story of Job, it's about learning to hear from God. Because hearing from God, listen to me, is an area that we need to learn. It's not a spiritual gift. Now, parents, when you talk to your children, how many want them to hear you? How many have ever had your children go, yeah, 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 and weren't paying attention on any level?
Right.
How many of those you know when they're listening and when they're not?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Now, we have a new little doggy. Well, he's not so new anymore. He's 7 months now. When I have food, a treat, he's unbelievable. He'll listen to everything. If I said jump over the moon, he'd jump over the moon. I don't have their treat with me. He kind of has selective hearing. He's tall enough now that he can look inside the sink. So we got to constantly say, get down. How many knows he knows the word, but he kind of tests it. Being that he's a retriever, I've noticed that his eyesight is unbelievably keen. There could be a hawk flying up overhead and he'll go. And he'll lock in on it and follow it. The other day I was outside in an airplane. It was a jumbo jet, and we're talking 30,000 feet. He hears the noise and he begins to look around. Then he looks up and he locks in on the jet and he watches it go overhead. I'm like, dude. Because there are times I'm walking him and he's kind of watching me. But he's also watching what he can get away with. He kind of puts that in gear. Are you with me? Sometimes when I'm saying, what are you chewing on? He'll stop chewing. Like I don't see it. I didn't teach him that. Drop that. And there are times that he'll open his mouth and leave it open and go, blah. It'll drop down. But unless I spoke to it, he's not doing it. How many understand that? How many times has the Lord been speaking to us? We may sort of hear, but we're really not paying attention. When it comes to the book of Job, I see that the Lord is going to draw all that in. When we start hearing from the Lord, we start to move where it's at. Let me say this to you. When it comes to the book of Job, look at Job chapter 1. Are you there? Look at verse 1. says there was a man in the land of Uz whose name was Job. The man was blameless, upright, one who feared God and shunned evil. Now the narrator of this book still remains anonymous. I'm not really sure who wrote this area. But when we start to get in chapter 2, there are four more voices that will come. His wife and his three friends. When you move all the way to chapter 32, one more voice is going to come, Elihu. Sometimes when there's a lot of voices, we can get confused. I'll say it again. When there's a lot of voices, we can get confused. Today, more than ever, there's a multitude of voices speaking. Oh, it's awful quiet in here. Even in modern Christianity, sometimes it's hard to hear from God. Are you with me? When I look at the thousands of voices that are out there, many of them are trying to replace the Word of God. When I look at Job's friends, we're going to break this down. Each one of them had a revelation. And it's not that they weren't speaking truth to Job, but I want you to know that it wasn't minister grace to him. None of them could really describe and really bring forth the word why he was going through what he's going to go through. Sometimes these voices contradict one another. In John chapter 18, verse 38, even Jesus dealt with Pilate when he says, "What is truth?" Jesus was the truth. He spoke truth. Today when I see the book of Job, his four friends brought four different revelations. Each aspect was one that was good, but it never really ministered. Later, God's going to reprimand his friends for the application of the word. I want you to know that, listen, because God's word is fundamentally correct out of somebody, the message should have brought encouragement to Job. Now, how many in here, if you're going through something, you want to have some encouragement along the way? Yes or no? I mean, want to have somebody to, like, not so much have to sympathize to your hurt, but, hey, I understand what you're going through. Yes or no? Could you imagine Job's friends coming along and saying, well, because of this, this is happening. Because of this, this is happening. And Job kept having to defend himself. But it was like this piece of the puzzle was missing. Now, how many in here have ever had somebody speak something to you when you were going through it and it ministered to you, it helped you? It was like great comforting words during that time. I really believe the Lord's able to do that through us. Job isn't having this here. He's having to deal with words that are spoken, and fundamentally they're sound, but it's not ministering to where he's at. Let me ask you this, when God's silent in the midst of your struggle, will you still trust him? Will you still walk in his ways? When it comes to areas of Job and Satan, I want you to know that Job is being set up for a blessing, increased revelation, and Satan's going to be unwittingly used as an instrument, a tool to get Job there. I mean, even God himself can use the enemy for your good. Do you believe God has all that power? Did God know how Job would respond? Absolutely. But let me ask you this, when God is silent in the midst of your struggle, will you still trust him? Will you still trust him? In 1 Corinthians 13, verse 9, it says this, "For we know in part, we prophesy in part." I see many times when struggles come, it's like, God, I don't know all that I'm experiencing, but Lord, help me. But what if God brought you a comforting word that I needed in that moment? How many of us that would bring help and hope? Now, I'm going to make this statement to you. When God speaks, he'll speak to you, and he may confirm it through somebody else. But if God called you to be a missionary somewhere in another country, he would talk to you first and may confirm it through somebody else. Never run on just the word of somebody else that dictates your life if you're a child of God. Because as a parent, how many knows you know how to speak to your own kids? And there are sometimes you have to speak differently to each kid. Yes or no? Some take discipline this way, some take it this way. You have to learn those things. Are you with me so far? I've seen lives ruined by listening to one person in their life not getting what God has. Are you with me so far? Job's going to have three friends and later four friends that are all going to speak revelation why he's going through what he's going through. And none of it ever merely ministered to what he needed. Then God's going to begin to speak when you get to chapters 38 through 42. And it's going to make all the sense in the world. When it comes to speaking, I want you to know that God can use any instrument. Before there was Shrek, I mean, remember Shrek? What was Shrek? He was a donkey, right? Oh, come on, you had to see the kids' program. How many of you young people ever seen Shrek before? The donkey could talk. In Numbers chapter 22, God used the donkey to talk. Now, wouldn't that be wild if all of a sudden your pet could speak to you? Lynn always wants that with our dog. You kind of wish there was like thought bubbles that would pop up. What's he thinking? Because sometimes he'll look at you and you don't really know what he's thinking. In Numbers 22, the donkey, God spoke through the donkey. He was just a channel, but he was available. Somebody say amen. How many of you know sometimes God will look for available vessels? Listen to me. I've seen this. Sometimes when a person's in a furnace of affliction, he doesn't understand the purpose of God. He's aware of the pain, but he's missing the presence of the Lord. I'm here to tell you, nothing will separate you from the love of God. You go through a situation in your life, God will still be there. Did he say, I'll never leave you or forsake you? Sometimes inner turmoil or that outer turbulence causes us to be more self-conscious than to recognize there can be fresh revelation from God. I've seen it when we're going through self, sometimes we get tunnel vision. Are you with me? It's like we're seeing the worst, but Lord, open up our eyes. In Isaiah 20, verse 21 says this, your ears shall hear a word behind you saying, this is the way, walk in it. Don't turn to the left or turn to the right. Now, how many of you have ever been instructed by the Lord for a situation in your life? How many of those situations work out? Yes or no? How many here have ever missed it? Like, you thought it was the Lord, but it was you answering yourself. How many of those during those times, it's like you're running on that, you think it's going to be there, but then you miss out on it. Now, let me ask you this. What if you could be the little puzzle piece in revelation and comfort to somebody and the Lord could use you? Would you want that? Would you want to be that? I shared that with the first service when I was going through my cancer treatment. When I finally got through with all that, they really don't give you much on your updates while you're doing it. They really don't. It's kind of like it isn't talked about. So you kind of go through all the stuff, you go through all the exams, all the things, and then you show up at the doctor's and he gives you the full report. Well, on my way there, Kathy Wilker gave me a call. And in the morning, the Lord spoke a word to me and says, it's going to be okay. And I heard that, but I wasn't grasping the fullness of it. I just said, Lord, thank you. You know what I mean? But I got a phone call on my way there. So you know what? She goes, you're on your way to the doctor's today. I go, yes, I am. I'm going to hear the report. She spoke this to me on the phone. God said it's going to be okay. How many of those had just confirmed what he already told me before I left? Yes or no? I walked into the doctor's office. Within the first minute, he said, you're okay. We talked about him the rest of the time. How many of us, that was a nice piece to have in the midst of a storm, yes or no? Yes, I believe, but how many ever had that little thought? Or am I the only one? You heard that God's going to do it, but you just kind of wish there was just that word to help you through it. Or am I the only one in here? How many of us, it was like gold in the midst of silver. It like fits in that area. Job needed that. Job needed that word from the Lord, why he's going through the situation. He had an abundance of revelation from his friends, but it never ministered to what he needed. The grace that's there. Sometimes when it's a difficult season, sometimes when there isn't blessing and growth, sometimes maybe there's sickness or failures, we have to say, God, you're with us. Come on. Can you believe blessing can come before testing? Sometimes, no, the testing will bring the blessing. No, but if you know God's with you, then the rest of it's gravy. Will God be with you in every situation? Yes or no? What if all of a sudden you had four church people, and they're all great people, and they begin to speak to you, well, it's because of this you're going through that, 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 and it never really ministered where you're at. How many think that would bring some hurt too? You're not the one sitting in the ashes scraping yourself. You're not the one that had your house burned down and all your family's gone. Sometimes it's easy to bring a word, but listen, if you're going to bring a word to somebody, make sure it's from God. Are you with me? In John 14, verse 18 says this, "I'll never leave you comfortless. I will come to you." You're not going to be orphans with me. But hear this. Jesus never promised immunity from painful circumstances, but he's pledged his presence in the midst of them. If you've lived long enough, you've probably seen somebody pass on from here. Maybe a sickness yourself or your family member. In life, there are some hurtful things that go on. Yes or no? Even great people, good people, have had terrible things come upon. But God said, "I'll never leave you in the midst of that." When I look at Job, yes, there was suffering, but how much more will there be revelation from God? And when I look at the book of Job, yes, suffering is part of it, but hearing from God is everything. Because once you hear from him, how many knows that it makes all the sense in the world? If you could know God in a greater way than you're knowing him now, would you want it? When I looked at this, when God spoke to Satan, he said, "Have you considered my servant Job?" There's none like him. And Job goes on that area where, like, he's the neutral party here. And then Satan says, he loves you because you bless him. You got a hedge of protection about him. You prosper all he has. Let me touch his stuff and he'll be like every other man. You know the story? All this stuff is gone. His children are killed. And then it comes to the next day. "Have you considered my..." Yep. He's still serving me. Skin for skin. Let me touch his health and he'll curse you like every into your hands, but not his life. When I look at this, look at God's foreknowledge. That he's going to use the enemy for Job's good and Satan doesn't even know it. There are things happen in life that we don't have all the answers for, but he does. Listen, when heaven is silent and you're in the midst of it, keep being faithful. Because God will speak. Now let me look at my doggy. Alright? When I have a treat in my pocket, his scent, the smell is so great, he knows it. He'll tap you on your pocket like, "Give me what you got. It's not for you." We thought we were cool. We put a little bit of his dog food like in this little table. It was quick to get it out. Guess what he did first day? He walks in the room. He's about this far from the door. And he goes. And all of a sudden he's on a beeline. And he's not going to stop till he finds what it is. I said, "Listen, we can't put any food in there because he'll find it. He will sniff it out." Can we hide from God? I'm not making him like a dog, but can we hide from him? When I consider Job, look at all that was coming upon him. Did his relationship with God have to change? Well, it needed to get better, but God loved him. Was God going to say, "During this time, I'm not going to even be with you"? It doesn't say anywhere in Scripture. He was allowed to be tested. He was allowed to be tried. But the revelation that Job was going to receive would make him a greater man. Come on. When I look at Job, all of God's dealing brought maturity and revelation of himself to Job. I mean, as we need to grow up too. Now, when your children are children, you treat them like children. They have children responsibility. When they become men and women, they take on a whole new role. I remember back when you didn't care about the gas bill, the electric bill, the water bill, or where you ate. You just did what you needed to do. I mean, remember when it was summer, recess was the greatest part of school. Anybody remember recess? Yeah. Recess was awesome. Yeah. Amen? I counted down the days for summer vacation. I never liked back to school commercials. Come on. I don't know where I ate half the time, but I ate something, I swear. Come back when the streetlights are on. That was my home. In life, listen to me, there are times of shadows of terror and fear. I like to say everything's going to be rosy and neat, but sometimes you have to walk through them. You know the scripture, Psalm 23, verse 4, "Though I walk through the valley of the shadow of what?" Notice it's not tulips and all of a sudden sunny days. Sometimes there'll be shadows of things that are tough. But you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. Listen, if things go south, does that mean God has left you? And that doesn't even dictate your own personal things. Job's in that midst. Why couldn't one of his friends say, Job, God's got an answer for you? And make sense in his life. Sometimes if everyone's got the answer for you, but none of it makes sense, it makes it tougher. Oh, nobody in here. I believe this with all my heart. God was positioning Job in a greater way. He's the master strategist. And even the enemy of his soul, he's going to turn it around. Listen to me. While Satan was trying to destroy Job's faith, listen, he never could. Job was in the classroom of life, and his study course is going to be theology. You're going to know about me. When you start to get to chapters 38 through 42, you're going to see when God begins to reveal himself, there are some 70 questions God posed that Job couldn't answer. But when God revealed himself, it made all the sense in the world. Sometimes in trials, listen to me, you need a good comforter, don't you? Yes or no? How many of sometimes we just need somebody to be there? Oh, you're all perfect in here. I mean, sometimes it matters. You can be that person. Now, Job had to go through it. Losing his family. Let me read this to you. Now, ladies, don't take offense to this. This is scripture, okay? All the ladies, smile at me. Bernice, smile at me. All right, there you go. In Job 2, verse 9 says this, then his wife said to Job, are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. Now, how many of you, if you've already lost your children and now your wife is speaking this, that adds another layer. Yes or no? This is somebody close and personal. Why she shared this, I really don't know. But I know it adds to the mix. I'm not trying to blame her or make her seem bad, but the truth is that no one had the right revelation. Sometimes people see themselves as losers and they get up that way. We need to change that. Amen? Some people say, well, my faith didn't work, or if God loved me more, I wouldn't be going through this. Maybe this struggle wouldn't be there. Listen, we try to rationalize so many things. Sometimes I don't have the answer why you're going through what you're doing, but I know God will be with you. And if I'm going to add to your misery, woe unto me. I have all the revelation, knowledge, whatever, but it doesn't minister grace. Where are we in the midst of this? We need to comfort one another. We need to speak a word in that area. And a true word of God. How many here have ever received a true word of God and it did something great for you? Maybe somebody encouraged you along the ways. Come on. Each one of us can be qualified to be those people. But that process must come to pass. In Philippians 1 verse 6 says this, being confident of this very thing, he who's begun a good work in you will perform it completely unto that day. Come on. When God speaks to an individual in need, here's what it is. It's words of acceptance, hope, assurance, with instruction and correction. When God speaks to an individual's need, it's words of acceptance, hope, and assurance with instruction and correction. It all goes in the midst of it. And isn't he just beating on you and doesn't love you? No, he's going to discipline you. And when God disciplines you, he changes you. Job is going to be a different man because of the revelation God's going to bring to him. Like all of us in here, aren't we being purified? Now, how many here have ever messed with pottery? You ever made a clay pot or anything like that? Anybody? When I was in school, they had the foundries. You did it. I did awful things. I wasn't that person. I wasn't skilled that way. Some of you guys can make great stuff. I was not that person. Mine always looked ugly. My mom said, oh, it's so beautiful. It was terrible. I knew it was terrible. But mom's like, oh, it's so beautiful because you made it for me from your heart. I love it. It was awful. My dad would come in and go, what's that? All right? But mom always tried to have the comforting words there. I knew it was terrible. Well, that's the best I could do. But in the hands of somebody that's great, how many of those, I've seen people make bowls and vases and You ever seen glass blowing? They make a, it's unbelievable. It's like, man, a skilled person. Well, here's the truth. Our image is like Christ. So he's the model. We need to be just like the model. So God wants us to be like him. If we're called to be holy, because he's holy. God called Job to be holy. He called him just like who he's supposed to be here. When God declares something, listen to me. If he declares it pure and holy, then it's our responsibility to enter into that holiness. What's your example today? If you have none, believe me, you'll go haywire. When it came to Jesus in 2 Corinthians 5, verse 21, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that we can become the righteousness of God. It's like I'm putting off this flesh, but I'm taking on Christ. Now, who knows what an architect is? What comes to mind when you hear an architect? They draft it up, the design of it, you follow the pattern, you get whatever that is. God is our architect. Jesus is our example. We should be like him. Then God knows what every man and woman needs to go through to be like him. I'd like to say things are there, but some things that I have to deal with, you may not. You may have to deal with some things that works in your character that I don't. But the ultimate thing is to have it to be like Christ. Now, in this one class, I had a pottery class, just like I had a baking class. The instructor made this beautiful vase. Is that how you pronounce it? Yeah. It looked unbelievable. The person was real skilled, and he showed the whole class how to do it. I put the clay on there. It started to go around. I stuck my finger right through it. And then it went, end up on this big old pile. The guy goes, no, you're doing it too rough. He showed me again. He takes his hands and goes, brought it right up. Now you try. I said, well, it's already done. Can I just do this one? No, you got to do your own. That's how smart I was. He took his hand and he squashed it, all right? Put a little water on it, a little thing, work it up. Worked it up. It was terrible. It was leaning. I said, is there anything else I can make? Well, you can make this, but I really want you to make this. And I saw some people just going, woo! And man, it was all good. I'm like, dude, I don't have that skill. How many know sometimes you feel like you don't measure up? How many ever felt that way? I don't look this way. I can't do this. I don't have this talent. But God loves you the way you. He made you the way you are. But I've learned this, that if he's the example, then everything I ever need is in me in Christ. I can be like him. Then, Lord, I want to be like you. Then what I go through, you can use for my benefit. You'll speak into my situation. He's building all of us. Sometimes between the plans and the dedication of the building lies a season of construction. Each one of us are going to go through that process. God reveals his plan to our lives, but it's a time-consuming process that needs to be complete. By declaring the end from the beginning, God encourages us to participate. I'm going to make you like me. Continue. I'm hoping by the end of this year, you're more like Christ than you were at the beginning of the year. I hope you know more about Christ than by the end of the year than the beginning of the year. We're in the process. But just because there's a process in time doesn't mean you've been working on it. Now, when we moved into the home we live in now, our attic was empty. It was an older home. It was a two-bedroom. And the upstairs was just an attic. Nothing up there. Just nothing. No insulation. Zero. Just had a couple steps up the top. Well, when we bought it, I thought, you know what? If we do this and this, we can make this home a little better. Well, it's been a 7-year project. All right. It hasn't been overnight. Well, when I started to work upstairs, we didn't have any outside lights, so I'm up in the attic. Well, I'm only on a 6-foot ladder because the ceiling's only 8 feet, and there's rafters. I go, you know what? I'm going to drill a hole here, and then when I get a chance, I'm going to put a light on the outside. So I drilled a hole, stuck the wire out, stuck it out there, and I'm like, cool. When I get a chance, I'll put the light up. Well, I wasn't paying much attention. Had the wires all out there, and I went outside and I began to look. I'm like, oh, man. The ground level and where the window was, oh, that's really high. So I had this 32-foot extension ladder. Well, that'll surely reach that. I know it's not that high, but then there's a window right below where the light goes. You can't put the ladder there. So for 6 years, the wire has just been sticking out of my house because I could not get up there on any level. Everything I tried. The first lift I rented was a bucket man lift. It had these arms that come out, towed behind. The grade was so off, they would never level off. So if they don't level, you can't go up with it. So I had to take that back. Well, Saturday afternoon, for the first time in 7 years, my light works. I rented one of those scissor lifts, those all-terrain tires. I said, by God, I'm going to get that light up. I set all these planks on the ground because the thing was so heavy, it just made big, you can see where it's pushing the ground down. Put plywood down, I braced it up. I hit that button, I went up 26 feet up there. And I hung that little bit, the most expensive light fixture you could ever imagine. But it was a process. And you know what? That night, I went outside and I turned the lights on. And I walked around the house and go, hey, my lights work. Hey, all right. How many think you're in a process? What God's going to do may not take overnight. During this whole time, Job is going through it. But you know what? There's going to be an end because he sees the beginning and the end. God is already at the end. Job, I see you the way you need to be. This is going to change you. Sometimes the pain of construction is unbearable, but it's still bearable in Christ. Now, how many knows what a scale model is? Many times a scale model is just a small portion of what the big will be. Well, man, we got our example in Christ. He's not little, but he's our scale model. I want to be like him. Then there are sometimes he'll have to do a little filing on you. Yes or no? Sometimes a little adjustment in your thinking. The process, listen to me, is only slowed by our impurities. When we start to remove those in our life, it starts to move it along quicker. God speaks our reality, and we walk it out. I made you like me. You have my spirit in your life. When silver and gold is refined, it's heated. It's heated to the place that it takes away all impurities, and God takes you to the place where he molds you without distortion. Now, I worked in a foundry for some time in my life, and when the steel heated up to a place, you could tell there was these thermometers that would get to a certain temperature, and when it started to pour, man, the sparks were unbelievable. The heat was unreal. And sometimes it's like just a river of hot molten metal going. And it was going somewhere. And a lot of times we were pouring parts and forging things. And it would give the outline of what we were making. And then when it cooled down, you got the shape of it. But it wasn't perfect. There was still slag on it. There were still scales on it. It had to be machined off. I mean, we're pretty raw when we get saved. God accepts you the way you are with everything you got in you. But if you continue in that, you know what? He heats you, he forges you, he changes you. But one day, you'll end up like Christ. When God speaks a word, it takes you from being exasperated to exaltation. Job is going to have that air. When God begins to speak to him in the later chapters, it makes all the sense in the world. Here's how bad it got for Job. In Job 3 verse 1 says this, Job opened his mouth, I cursed the day I was born. Job 3:11 says this, why didn't I die at birth? Why didn't I perish from the womb? That's pretty serious stuff. When you start speaking, you wish you were never born. Would you agree? But God still has a word there. No, I made you in my image. When we start to increase in our patience, our perseverance will start to increase. Lord, let me be patient in that day. Do you know what God says? I'll give you grace today. Today is your daily bread. Too many worry about tomorrow. That doesn't mean no plan. But you can't predict tomorrow, can you? Are you that great? Then Lord, you're going to give me grace. No, it's daily bread. Is this making sense to you? Enjoying this? Job was patient, but now he's going to persevere. He was upright, but now he's going to be greater than that. Anxiety sometimes as a Christian holds us back. Now I want to speak about college students for a moment. The other day I was ministering, and here's the true fact. Students today are dealing with a lot of stress about where they're going to work, what they're going to do, who they're going to marry. And it's a stress that works on the mind and heart. And sometimes there isn't somebody to help communicate and speak to that, to bring a comforting word, to say, you're going to make it. Because sometimes we initialize everything. I got to do this. I got to perform. I got to. And you may not live up to that measure of somebody else. The pottery class, I stunk at. The cooking class, I was terrible at. I burnt those babies. I could make cookie dough, but don't ask me to cook the thing. How many like cookie dough? A couple of you. Well, do we need Minister Grace today? God's goal in trials is enlargement. Psalm 4, verse 1. Hear me when I call, O God. Hear me in your righteousness. Revive me in my distress. Have mercy on me. Hear my prayer. The very thing that sometimes comes to destroy our faith is going to establish it to a greater degree. Job's faith was not going to be destroyed. It was going to be established. The enemy may move things from us, but he can't separate us from a true faith in God. Romans 8, 38 and 39. Nothing shall separate you from the love of God, which is in Christ. Everyone in this room, we have the potential to be the little puzzle piece to speak a word of life in somebody else. How many want to be able to do that? We can have abundance of revelation and tell Job why he's doing what why he's going through it and never really minister, or we can hear from God and be that person. Maybe you're here today and you're going through a situation where you just wish somebody recognized and knew what you were going through. Somebody say, hey, look, I'm not living your life, but I understand. How many think that's comforting? We can be those people. Maybe you're in the midst of the storm right now and you can't see the end and heaven is silent. I want to encourage you, be faithful. The answer will come. God will work through. He'll cause all things to work through. Be patient in it. He's doing a little filing, a little changing. If you read the end of Job, do you want to know that he received twice as much as what he had before? Why is it that most people just stop at the suffering when God was going to bring the increase? Come on. Why doesn't the narrative go like this? And Job was more blessed than anyone. No, it always stops at the suffering. It always stops at what he went through. Yes, he went through it. But you know what the Bible says? That he restored his family. He had twice as much. And it says this of Job's sons and daughters. There was no more people more beautiful than them. His daughters received the same inheritance as the son. And it went out through all the land. I mean, that's pretty cool. And then God began to deal with his friends. And he rebuked them and saying, here's the revelation you needed. God take care of all of it. Job walked through it with health and strength after all the struggle. There's a narrative of the story. God sees the end. Sometimes we just see the process, but no change. Oh, that's good preaching today. Yes, Satan may be able to remove the things, but he's not going to take your faith. Your true faith in God will last. And how many more patience in here? How about perseverance? Can we keep on that track? You're on the wheel, and he's mastering, taking you up. Let him go through the process. Hallelujah. Don't get off the wheel. He'll change you. Amen. After it was built, listen, when I built my little whatever it was that looked ugly, he said, you're not done yet. You got to put it in the oven. You're going to glaze it. It'll harden. And it'll be whatever it was after that. How many want all the impurities out of you? How many of us inside, you're pure because Christ is there. But we still have some flesh issues we need to deal with. How many want those dealt with? How many here have ever had temptation come back to you even though you got victory over it years ago? How many, Satan's always trying to keep it in the rearview mirror, keep going. Amen. And last here this morning, maybe you'll have an opportunity this week to be the little puzzle piece of strength, comfort, exhortation in somebody's life. Some of you have relationships where you can pull the slack out. Say, man, you need to get your life right. Some of you have that ability. Some of you have that relationship. However it brought forth, it'll bring change. Amen? Well, after my phone call on my way to the doctor's, I walked in the doctor's office just ready to say, I'm only here to hear everything is good. Are you hearing me? I didn't speak that to me. She only spoke what God gave to her. I'm looking for you to speak. How many knows it'll confirm itself in the doctor's office? When God does something, it'll confirm itself. Just like in the Old Testament, when they were sick and they were healed, you know what they said? Go show yourself to the priest, he'll announce you clean. Go show yourself. God heals you, it'll show up in the doctor's office. Let me hear the word. What's in you is Christ. Can't get any better than that. Then Lord, let that work out. Let that image of Christ come through my life. Change me from glory to glory. Hallelujah. And Job's life ended up being pretty awesome. Hear me. He started off blessed. He was in the midst of blessing and got blessed more at the end. Let's stop looking at the struggle of not being something God can't change. Is that good? Can we do it? Takes character. But let's move it. You enjoy this morning?
Yes, sir.
Amen. How many here are going through something right now you need God to work in? Let me see your hand. Okay? How many here, like you, Lord, you want the Lord to use you to speak a word in situation to bring that comfort? Okay? Amen. And how many are finding yourself on that process of change? Lord, still shaping me, still taking off some edges. Hallelujah. Amen. Father, thank you for this time. And Lord, I pray a blessing on this congregation. Lord, go with each one in strength and power. And Lord, help us to look that when you spoke, it made all the difference in the world. That Lord, when heaven's silent, Lord, let us not turn away from you, but cling to you all the more, knowing that you know what we're going through. And Lord, let us be people to speak a word from you in the situation that makes a difference. Lord, let us be silent with our own revelation. But Lord, let us bring your revelation, a revelation of truth. So Father, a blessing upon each one. Lord, go with them in strength and power in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, thank you.